Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions expressed do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 419-528-TDRK to leave a voicemail, and we just may play it on the show.
Three green circles. One, two, three, four, five, six green gummy bears.
Hmm. Are these vodka gummy bears?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So you're choosing to take your alcohol in solid form.
Well, kind of.
Or gelatin.
I prefer to call it gummy cereal.
Like just eating it out of a bowl?
Mm-hmm.
Using a straw to get the remnants at the bottom?
No. It's a styrofoam bowl.
Like what you're describing sounds like some kind of like weird art installation about how we're poisoning our bodies. Like you have styrofoam, which is a carcinogen. You have gummy bears, which has I think that they're made out of horse eyeballs, gummy bears. And
no, then
you have well, what's gelatin, Chris? It's horse eyeballs and kitten tears. And then you got it's like a good old fashioned alcohol.
I got 12 gummy bears floating face up in a styrofoam bowl of vodka. And that's a Wednesday.
Slow camera zoom in. A loud thrumming sound in the background.
Thrumming?
Makes boom.
Thumb drumming?
Yeah, it's like a tech deck.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Chris, I've got a question for you. All right, I'm going to give you a series of people, and I'm going to ask you what kind of atrocities they committed in order to earn their middle names.
Okay.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Butt sex.
Melissa Joan Hart.
Heart sex.
Oh, no, like the aorta?
Joan?
Joan sex. It would have been funnier if you said butt sex again, by the way.
Oh, my bad. Do it again, then.
Charles Nelson Riley.
Nelson.
Okay, I didn't ask you to say the middle name. I asked you, what atrocity did Charles Nelson Riley commit?
Nelsoning.
He gave a full Nelson to JFK. That's how he got that disease, Klinefelter's or whatever.
That's the one.
Yeah. Oh, John F. Klinefelter's. Hey, Chris, what's your name?
Chris.
My name is Cole. And this is episode what?
Oh, man.
130?
You got me.
All you have to do is look at the, like, we're behind. All you have to do is look at the website.
I got a shot to the gut. You got me.
Scooped you. Got your journalism.
Oh, man. Episode number 130 of the Internet Comedy Podcast.
Those damn Ross kids. Oh, okay, cool. I scooped you there too. You gotta pick up the speed. You gotta pick up the speed.
My name, as I said, was Chris. Your name is Cole.
And we're here to entertain your asses.
Are we?
Yeah. I suppose I did flip that around on you, didn't I?
Yep, the script was flipped.
Oh yeah, took it and I turned it.
Mm-hmm.
Every time.
You're better than me. That's what flip means.
I don't even know. Yeah, we're behind this week. I'm sorry, guys.
I had some horrible diarrhea.
Yeah. You said that in that intro I cut out because of the Skype quality.
Yeah, the Skype was bad. The poop was
the poop
runny. It was the summer of 14.
It was the summer of 14. The Skype was runny. The poop was slow. It was a wonderful time to be alive. Is what it
was. Cops episodes were DVR'd.
Do you seriously have cops episodes DVR'd?
I have more cops than I know what to do with.
So,
I don't do drugs. I watch people do drugs.
Yeah, I watch the aftermath of drugs.
I can't beat my baby mama. I'm damn sure gonna watch somebody.
Yeah, no, it's do you think to a certain extent like that, like watching cops is sleaze porn? Like, so, you know, to a certain extent, like, you know, if okay, so this is weird, and it's also aspirational because, you know, I'm me. But if I had a lady around, I probably wouldn't be watching as much porn as I some, you know, God, what am I saying out loud? Theoretically, a nominal person probably wouldn't watch as much porn if they had a willing partner around. Okay, but mm-hmm. you know, if mm-hmm. you're the kind of person who is restricting your, like, I'm not afraid of the cops, like, mentality, like that little loud voice that's inside all of us. If you were living cops, would you be watching as much cops? And is this some kind of like perverse release for you?
True thing said to our mother last night via the telephone.
Oh Jesus,
Chris, what are you doing? Chris says to mom, watching cops. Mom, why are you watching so much cops? Chris, to mom, better than porn, you know, real violent stuff.
Oh God, why would you even joke about that?
Because it was like, it just seems as random. Like,
I suppose. Like,
it's to your point. It's the same. It's the same vein.
I guess, but that just
the one on top.
It's a hard R. Okay, it's a hard R. That's what bugs me.
Well, I just meant like real violent. You
okay,
know.
Okay.
Like,
better than snuff
like
porn.
Twisting your heel, you know.
Oh God.
Or her heel.
Yeah,
one of the two.
Yeah, that's not just how you do it. <That's>, actions a little north of that.
I'm wrong.
Yeah. Is okay, so either you're wrong or the entire country of Germany's wrong, Chris.
Mom's wrong.
Yeah, no, she's come up a lot these past couple episodes. Okay, geez, I guess I will. I don't know.
Porn, like real violent stuff.
Yeah, did that quiet her? Did she cease her line of inquiry, or was she?
No, it seemed to give her like some sort of humming, like she wanted to one up me.
Oh
but
no!
Then didn't, because something shiny distracted her.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. I think that you're much more cavalier with your conversations. I'm restricted a little bit.
No, it just depends.
I suppose. It's a self-selecting thing. You wouldn't say like, oh, what are you having for dinner tonight? Oh, chili. Cool. Like that's not interesting pod fodder.
No.
Yeah. Potter. Portmanteaus, Chris.
Let's talk about her interrogating me about my decisions in life.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of a weird question, isn't it?
Crying is funny.
Why? What?
Crying is funny.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Should I cut this all out?
No, leave it in. Leave it in.
Okay.
Evidence, my friend.
Okay, cool. I suppose. Paper trails. Paper chase. Cutting trail.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
One handful of acid, the other handful of confetti. Paper trails, man.
I thought you were talking about like acid that somebody would throw on throw on them if they disgrace them.
On the Muslims?
I suppose.
Nah.
Okay. Wow, we're off to a start. We are off to a start here.
We got a lot in. We got a couple hard R's.
some generalizations about. Yeah, it is a question of like where they get their acid. I don't know. It's okay. It's okay if we
get on the ground.
What?
It's from cops.
Okay. Yeah,
I like
Chris,
to yell at everyone.
Chris,
in a
you
while.
Need to mute your television. You need to mute your television if that's what you're
going
to do.
No, I yelled that.
Okay.
So I want to yell that to somebody and realize it.
Get on the ground.
Yeah. And
what's
funny because they don't curse. Because no. If it was me, it'd be like, get on the fucking ground.
Yeah. Well, obviously you would. But so you think they self-censor? They don't want to be. They don't want to show the.
I don't think they want to be that guy.
They don't want to be the dirty cop.
Put your hands up! I'm gonna tase a cracker.
Did I tell you about the time when they were filming a police show outside of my college home?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did I say it on the show?
I don't think so.
Okay, so
you told me about the neighbor that committed suicide too.
Yeah, that was real sad. I think about him a lot. He was a nice guy, and he was on the up and up. Except the university screwed him over, and it got him back into the heroin. He was like going to school to be an addiction counselor,
to be a heroin tester.
You know, you have to follow your bliss. More accurately, you have to chase your dragons, right?
Damn you, Z.
Damn you, the University of Cincinnati. They fucked him over real bad, and it's super silly. It just shows how fragile it is. If you have you know, a history of addiction, you know, all it takes is some stress to drive you right back.
And family and a love of birds.
What's that?
A family and a love of birds.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Just trying to describe a normal guy.
Okay. Yeah. But so yeah, he was going to school to be an addiction counselor. He was like all the way through it, except there was something with the money and something with not being able to get a certification, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I think the canonical version of the story, you know, just we didn't really talk about it too much with his girlfriend who was left behind with their two adorable pit bulls, just the sweetest dogs you'd ever seen.
They didn't have kids?
No, no. Mm. No, two really sweet pit bulls though, I think he was so worried about returning to heroin, and he was in such a weird state of mind that he shot himself in the head. Trigger warning, by the way, for anybody who's sensitive to that. It was a real bummer. So do you want me to tell you the actual funny story and not the awful story that makes me really sad just to think about it, because he was like a legit nice dude?
Yeah.
Okay. So I lived in a real shithole neighborhood to the south of the University of Cincinnati, in the area of town commonly known as Clifton. Okay. And you've been there. Lots of houses, really tightly packed together, and you know, mostly student housing, like, you know, cheap apartments that kind of like slummy landlords would rent out to students, and because people are only going to be there for like a year or so, they didn't really take care of the place. And so you would just get like douchebags who moved into a place and threw a bunch of parties and whatever. The worst of all, I think, was the house that was directly to my like directly right by us, which had a gigantic porch on the front. Like you would expect, like if there was a hot tub there would be like some swinging key parties happening there. Like just a real rockin' porch, which of course drew all the shitheads who wanted to have like porch parties, you know, in our muggy Cincinnati springs and falls. And so consistently, it was always the worst human beings who moved into that house. One year, I forget, it was probably like my junior year or so, the house really saw fit to just fire like shoot firecrackers off of the porch. At pretty much any notice, directly into a very dry tree too, and because the houses were so packed together, I was worried that they were going to burn my fucking stuff to the ground. And so, you know, I called the cops, and you know, other people had called the cops as well, and I had asked them, and, you know, this was after asking them, like, hey, can you guys please stop shooting fireworks or I'm going to call the cops? And they did the very mature thing, look at this guy, blah. You know, being real shithead. So I was like, okay, I'm going to call the cops. It's fine. And so, like a minute or so after I call the cops, it felt like it was like that short. Like the street shuts down and you can see from both sides just like trucks full of people. Like full of police officers, like SWAT trucks, whatever, you know, drove up, and like, you know, they like all of the people on the porch left and went inside the house, like hiding because they knew they were coming for them. Right. It's kind of like, or, you know, just they know cops and underage drinking, you know, they're probably there to bust some heads. Right. And
pigs,
so
yeah,
pigs. Yeah. Yeah. So the police officers go up and say, hey, you've been shooting fireworks off of your porch. We're going to do some busts or whatever, et cetera, et cetera. And I was real curious because there were cameramen. I was like, oh, they must be filming some kind of show, which I believe was called Campus Cops. I was like, huh, that's really weird. And so, like, it was just funny to watch that. Like, maybe they rolled out all the extra guns in order to try and, you know, provide something for the camera. And so the policewoman who had, you know, talked to them, I was sitting on my porch drinking a beer or something like that. And I was listening to it, and she was saying, you know, yeah, there are some kids. They were getting a little rowdy. We had to come by and tell them to knock it off, or else we were going to come back and take them away, right? Okay. And one of the kids who lived in the house, one of the people who was at the party, lit a bottle rocket and shot it at this policewoman.
Wait. Wasn't this Policewomen of Cincinnati?
No, it was a different show I thought it was. No, Policewomen of Cincinnati was just the television show that I never stopped hearing about when it was on the air. Because mom was like, oh, you're going to have to, like, not even just mom, just like people like, oh, you like can't go on Reading Road anymore. And I was like, oh, like that main thoroughfare that I have to go on? Yeah, don't go on that road anymore.
No, mom, I don't watch that. It really just porn I watch.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, real violent stuff.
I'm dropping markers left and right, dude.
I can't say you. I mean, it's not funny.
Okay.
Why are you laughing?
because you're saying it in a jokey voice.
No.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Can I tell you a story?
Well, did you want me to tell you what happened?
Yeah, the police came and you were the douche that called them.
I know. So fires the bottle racket at her, and she's like, motherfucker, and pulls out the nightstick, and then more people show up, and the place is just completely raided. You know? I don't know. I think it's a fucking dick move. We live in a society, Chris, okay? And if you are asked...
We live in a world.
We live in a society. And you know what? If you're asked several times and notified, hey, if you don't stop shooting fireworks into the dry tree that stands over both of our houses, because that is both inconsiderate and something that is not, and something that is not neither of our best interest, or I'm going to call the cops, I think that that is a perfectly reasonable thing to do and doesn't make me a douche.
The cold does not abide.
Cold does not abide. Cole's upset, so I don't know. I caused a couple of kids to get some stick time, which is pretty fun. That's the story.
Some stick time.
Yep.
Oh God, never heard that.
Okay, tell me a story.
All right, I am at the website DCAbortionFund.org.
Fun or fund?
Fund.
Okay.
Fund, like
very different
fundraiser.
Sites.
Yeah. Yep. /donate. We have a /donate, don't we?
No, it's /tip jar.
Tip jar. Okay. Gotcha. The DC Abortion Fund is the only organization in the District of Columbia region that focuses solely on dispersing small patient grants for abortion care in the community. It's a nonprofit. They want you to donate today. Your gift is tax deductible to the extent allowed by law. They also accept donations that they call in-kind donations, an item that can be auctioned at fundraiser events, such as gift certificates, sports tickets, gym passes, etc. If you want to make a bigger difference, join their monthly sustainer program. Monthly sustainers provide a steady source of income and can pledge to callers year-round. Donors who sign up to give $10 a month. And we only ask you this one time a year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you get some tumblers that have a rocket engraved on them. You get some stack soap, which is really good, by the way.
No, absolutely. You get like a half a bag of some coffee.
Yeah.
So donors who sign up to give $10 a month or more receive a John Hodgman approved... No, wait, that's a different network. They receive a DCAF, which is District of Columbia Abortion Fund, coat hanger necklace.
Oh, that is in poor taste.
As a way to say thank you.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
Oh, yeah, that's... That probably should have gone through committee a little bit more.
Yeah, to join as a monthly sustainer and receive your pendant, visit our online donation page, which is hyperlinked today, and in the dedication box, type in, quote, coat hanger. two words.
I thought you were going to say those damn Ross kids to have your donation matched.
to have your donation matched by someone who won't be here tomorrow.
No. Ooh, that's rough stuff.
Oh,
is that any different than Christians wearing crosses though? Kind of like,
no, it's probably the same.
It's probably the same thing. Okay, cool. I just want to make sure. Yeah,
no, you're worshiping the device.
I suppose so.
No, it's true. You don't suppose anything. It's real.
No, I suppose what I do suppose is, like, they're trying to make it so that, you know, if people don't want their children, and I'm not having that conversation about whether or not that act is right or wrong, but from their point of view, it's kind of like, all right, so if this service is available to these people, but they still cannot get it because of price, and knowing that even still the cost of raising a kid is either way more than having this procedure done, or like a lot more money over time, right? You know, okay, so we want to make sure that it's available and that price isn't a barrier to them having a kid that they don't want. You know, setting aside that, like, oh, there is abortion there is adoption, rather. God, this is hairy. It just looks bad to have that fucking coat hanger around it. Like, have a little heart that says hope, or like a gigantic gold pendant that says a second chance or something on it. Not a coat hanger. Ugh, that's gross. That's gross.
We just come back to Dr. Dre education, man.
Okay, what do you mean?
Biggest hoes on planet Earth are walking through the motherfucking neighborhood. You knew when you got with a nigga, he already had a woman. You knew already had a family, but you fucked him anyway. And then when you thought you were going to lose a nigga, you went and got pregnant. Didn't you, bitch? Didn't you?
Jeez, that's pretty rough, Chris.
The old to keep a nigga baby.
I don't even know if I don't know that I'm down with that.
What?
I don't know.
I've said it before twice.
Have you?
You let it go through.
What, the N-word?
You've
quoted this song two times.
Yeah, they're lyrics, man.
I know.
In the podcast before,
no,
man.
I know that. No, trust me. I do enjoy censoring you on the fly. However, when you're saying song lyrics, that's pretty cool. I'm just not sure I'm done with the sentiment behind, oh, women just try and trap men into a relationship by having a baby.
You mean the old to keep a nigga baby?
Yeah, I see you're edging outside of the lines, I think, a little bit.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't know.
I didn't say it.
Yeah.
Dr. Dre did.
Okay. there's a certain editorial endorsement when you say it aloud on a thing that I put my name on, though.
Well, it's, just so we have a disclaimer. I don't really think that.
I know. Okay.
Neither do you, and neither do our employers or our friends.
Or anybody who knows our names, including the people who listen.
Who are you?
Oh, I don't know. Which one are you?
I'm Cole.
Okay, cool. Hi, Cole. I really don't like you.
Marker.
So, I don't know. That's pretty gross. They might be able to do a little bit better image control, I think. Just a little bit.
Why not a rocking chair?
What do you mean?
Like, instead of a coat hanger, why not a rocking chair?
Well, to your mind, what does a rocking chair symbolize? And I will cut you off by giving my own answer. I believe a rocking chair symbolizes the front of a Cracker Barrel. Go.
Exactly.
A rocking chair with a Stewart's orange and cream soda,
which is where all babies found in a dumpster behind a Cracker Barrel are taken.
Yeah, have you heard about the baby shoots in China?
Baby shoots?
That's what they call them. It's more like okay,
shoots and ladders.
The baby ladders. Have you heard about the baby ladders in China? It's really
weird.
Shoots
and ladder boards as big as the piano from Big.
No, they're actually relatively humane. So since we're talking about horrifying,
relatively like trash chutes in Brooklyn.
Well, no, like it's a little bit of a misnomer. It's not an island, it's not an island. It's a peninsula. Okay, but
kind of like Crimea.
Ugh, man, don't get me started on Crimea. We'll be here all day with me talking about like why it would probably be a very good idea to like move to like South America right now. Just like to go to go to like Tierra del Fuego and just like set up shop, you know, like winter and summer will be messed up, but you know, we're going to be A-okay because like the second like China starts like throwing its weight behind Russia, we're done for. Like World War III, man. We're off the grid. We're done.
So you want to escape war by going to the Crown of Flames,
the Land of Flames.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, no, the Land of Fire. No. So
it was Tierra. So
that's pretty good. But no, the baby shoots. So you know, like when a baby's got Jack disease and they're trying to diagnose it, and it's put in the big plastic case, and you got the Waldos.
Why do they kill them before they all Benjamin Button?
I'm not even sure, huh? So you think that like as he ages rapidly, he's going to de-age and then die as a baby?
Yeah, I saw Demolition Man.
Okay, cool. Man, you know what? I haven't seen that. For as much as I reference the visual style of Demolition Man, I've never seen it. Wesley Snipes, he is a member of the Free Men on Land movement, which is really, really hilarious. They believe that you cannot be tried in any court of law because most courts have flags that have a gold fringe on them, which makes them an admiralty flag, which means that they're under a different set of rules. It's pretty funny.
Sea law.
It's actually, yeah, it's like he believes that they're tried under nautical law. Oh man, like I can't even keep up with my notes here, man. We're moving real quick here. No, but baby shoots. So it's like a big plastic case with a cradle in it, and it's kind of like in America how they're like if you want to get rid of a baby, like there are places where you can legally do it, which are, you know, like a fire station, a police station, the front of a Cracker Barrel.
Amnesty dumpsters.
Yeah. I mean, kind of. It's more like amnesty stoops.
What a great sidekick for a 70s, like, law enforcement officer.
Amnesty shoots.
Amnesty stoops. He's a real jive talking black man.
Amnesty Stoops.
This is my unofficial partner, Amnesty Stoops.
He's like Huggy Bear. It's perfect.
Fozzie Simpson.
Fozzie. That's okay. Where are you coming up with these names? They're good names. Boxer Quan.
No.
Come on. Just this one.
All right.
I don't even know. So, Chris. I like to keep up on the trends on the internet. I like to think that, you know, if I'm going to be a tastemaker, I got to be a taster first, right? You got to know what's out there. You got to dip your snoot in a bunch of tills. You know, you got to get your beak wet and figure out what the people are looking for. And Chris, the hotness on YouTube, the hotness on the social media channels, unboxing videos.
What?
Have you seen any unboxing videos, Chris?
No.
Well, since 2010, the number of YouTube clips with unboxing in the title has increased by 871%. Last year, in 2013, 2,370 days, or 6.5 years worth of unboxing footage, have been uploaded. Okay?
And that's so, people opening presents?
Kind of. So again, it's back to like cops. You know, is this cops being white trash porn? What that means is like it's people who get a product and then on camera, usually like it's a camera that's like mounted on a tripod, and you just see their arms and you hear them breathing like really heavily and describing. All right, I'm cutting the shrink wrap here. Can see Apple pays attention to the packaging, the customer experience. Here's an insert, a warranty card, and right here we've got the iPad. Taking the static cling off. Yeah, it's basically that. So it's watching other people open the packaging that they buy stuff in. Okay.
Okay.
And people make a bunch of money off of it. Like some of them, like people who have like 2,000 something videos, they just get sent products to open up on the air. And I believe that it stems from some kind of like prurient interest in like, oh man, I really want to like buy this thing. I'd like to own this, but I can't afford it. So I'm going to do the next best thing, which is watch consumer porn and see somebody else opening it up and pretend that I'm opening it up here too. Right. It's like POV porn for going to the mall.
You, at least one of my favorite genres.
Mall porn?
No.
Yeah. No, but just like people opening like Kinder eggs, makeup, like make like it's just a bunch of makeup unboxings. It's nuts. I don't know. Should we break into that? Should we do unboxings?
Probably not.
Okay. I used the Hey Arnold doll you got me as a prop in an unboxing parody that I did.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
I saw the picture, the still life, if you will.
Yeah, no, I didn't do it. It didn't do any video because screw that. Yeah, my copy of Dark Souls 2, where instead of getting the art book and the statue, I got a different game. A library copy of Tennessee Williams' The Glass Menagerie, and instead of the statue, a Hey Arnold doll, which you very, very kindly got me at a thrift store.
Thrift Mart. Huh.
Yeah. Unboxing, Chris.
Unboxing. Hey, have you heard of a 17-year-old man named Hung Dong?
Okay. No.
All right. Well, he is being reported by North Korea as the first man to have landed on the sun.
You literally made me spit a beverage. I just...
Fun fact.
Okay. How hot is the surface of the sun, Chris?
The journey only took him 4 hours.
That's amazing.
Right?
They're so much further along than we thought.
Yeah, North Korea, a spokesperson is quoted as saying, "We are delighted to announce the successful mission to put a man on the sun. North Korea has beaten every other country in the world to the sun. Hung Dong is a hero and deserves a hero's welcome when he returns home later this evening."
Chris, this is an Onion article.
It was said that the journey was made possible by traveling in the cover of darkness, which protected him from the extreme heat of the sun.
I'm sorry, it's not interesting to just hear me laugh. That is terrible radio, but what do you expect me to do?
I don't know.
How do you expect me to react to that?
Fun fact. Only took 4 hours.
Oh.
Extreme superior nation, North Korea.
Yeah, no, most glorious leader.
Whoops, world's ass to sun.
What?
Whoops, world's ass to sun.
Well, okay, so I guess I get. All right, here's how it goes. They spent so much time working on their rockets to make stuff go up to get them to the sun, right? Like, that's why they couldn't make any of them go over, and everything they've ever tried launching has gone into the Pacific Ocean, maybe like 4 miles east of there.
They never did it at night, though.
Yeah, no, when the sun can't see. It's like...
Until Hung Dong had the balls.
The courage, the tenacity, the glory to get up there. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. So I'm doing some research here, Chris. Okay, so this is quoting from an article. Despite outlandish North Korean propaganda like Kim Jong-il's vaunted all-time golf scoring record and the supposed discovery of... No, you haven't heard about that?
No.
No, I forget. Let's see here. What did he say? Score. What was his score? An amazing 11 aces. Yeah, so they claim that he He fired a 38 under par round of 34 with 11 holes in one.
Oh my God!
Yeah, at the single North Korean golf course, 18 hole golf course rather. I think they have a lot of pitch and putts.
Wow.
Yeah, like the Shelby shithole, right? A lot of par threes, but no full 18 holes. But he goes out there, first time he's ever golfed, scores a 34, breaking the all-time record.
First time ever.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, beginner's luck, right? No.
Damn dictator. Oh, jumped up, bit my hand off.
Cut me down on my prime. Yeah, no, the their propaganda, pretty goofy, all-time golf scoring record, also the discovery of a unicorn lair in Pyongyang.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, we did. This one would already be sending up red flags, even if it wasn't easy to track down the original source. This article originally appeared in the Waterford Whispers News, a satirical Irish site like The Onion that runs headlines like groundbreaking WIT study finds link between obesity and overeating and world leaders renew international lie to people pact. I think they like had one good hit there, because both of those are just incredibly unfunny, and I know unfunny.
Now you do.
Yeah.
And I can say that.
You're allowed to. Yeah. But for a second there, I was happy to think that they... Kim Jong-un is a fucking dick, is what he is. I wouldn't put anything past that crazy
stuff,
dictator,
though.
I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And in other international news, Chris, can I tell you about a man... Used to be that they would call him Matthew, age 34, British resident, trying to get a passport, but they wouldn't let him use his actual name. Matthew, he's not Matthew anymore. Chris, Matthew isn't here anymore. Do you know who is here?
No.
King of Inkland, King Body Art to the Extreme Inkite. Okay?
He's an Inkite?
He's an Inkite.
Inkite Empire?
Ink-ite. Yes. Praise the sun.
Dynasty.
Yeah. No, okay, so King of Inkland, King Body Art, the Extreme King Inkite. Man, I'm sorry I keep mispronouncing your name. King of Inkland, King Body Art to the Extreme Inkite. It's really, really tough because it's kind of long. Too long, in fact, to put onto your passport. Even though it is on your driver's license, so bully for you, as they would say.
If it is on your 2-page driver's license.
Yeah. It's a trifold on your driver's pamphlet. Mr. King of Inkland, King Body Art to the Extreme Inkite is called that because he is the record holder, at least in Britain, I believe, for being the most tattooed man. He spent over $40,000 covering about 90% of his body in tattoos, including one of his eyes. Ouch.
Yeah.
The more I think about it, the more I realize I'm never going to get a tattoo.
I just had that conversation with somebody yesterday.
Yeah?
Or today.
How did that go?
It was fine. I just was talking about, I don't think I'll ever get one unless I'm terminally ill.
Oh, and they give you the target?
What?
They give you the target. Shoot here, dummy.
Oh, no. If I was terminally ill, I would get X's on my eyelids.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
So, Chris, there are some things that people can do if they want to make us feel good, right?
You know best. You need the affirmation. That's why you have a network.
I'm so small. I am so small. No, they can go to facebook.com/thosedamnrosskids, submit stories. We like seeing those whenever people take the initiative, and those usually make it up on the air. Additionally, you can leave us a rating or review in iTunes. We've had a couple pop up since we came back, which is very nice. And if you'd like to support the network monetarily, just go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar, and you will get a special amulet that is shaped. No, we can't do that. What? We can't do that. All right. No. You'll get our undying love. Also, just shop on Amazon using our link there, and we get some money from that. Doesn't cost you anything extra. And there are other shows on the network you can check out too. They're all pretty good. I like them. Yeah. Did I miss anything, Chris?
You got it.
Sorry, America.
Sorry, man.
Sorry, man.